And we have a guy in studio that used that for many years on his radio show, and that's Congressman Jason Lewis. Welcome. Thank you for making it.
Oh, gosh, Wayne, always good to be back on KYMN and talking with you. And I do like your choice of bumper music today. I got to say, Beatle Bumper Friday.
Well, I heard it from a pro, that's for sure. you got a little bit mixed up on the roads with all the detours?
Oh, man. I'm telling you, for all the inputs, we're not getting as many outputs when it comes to roads. We've got to have a more focused transportation policy in this state and at the federal level, and I've been working on that. I serve on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, and we are trying to develop a system, especially with regard to keeping the Highway Trust Fund solvent, to make certain those dedicated funds go to road building and not other non-highway uses. And we're way behind nationally and certainly in Minnesota on getting the roads built where they need to be built, as we all can see this August.
You know, there's a lot of hot buttons we could talk about. I know that your time is limited, but I would wish that I could arrange where you and Angie Craig could sit in this studio and go one-on-one, and I just would sit here and listen.
You know, trying to get my opponent to come out on an issue has been very, very difficult. So it's going to take something like that. I will tell you, whether it's building a wall and controlling our borders, whether it is Medicare for all versus a more free market health care plan, whether it's voting for impeachment or Nancy Pelosi for speaker, she will not take a position. Now, I've taken a position on all of these. I don't think socialized medicine and ending Medicare for seniors is a good idea. I'm opposed to Medicare for all. I certainly am in favor of controlling the border. She's not. She took money from Nancy Pelosi and Kirsten Gillibrand, who want to abolish ICE. And I don't think plunging the country into another impeachment crisis is a good idea. So my position is clear on all those. But Angie thinks she can just, you know, kind of stay coy there and not take a position because she knows she's in a swing district. This is a moderate center-right district, and those radical positions won't play, and yet she has to hold those positions to keep her more radical elements and her base. So, look, it's incumbent upon anybody running for public office to tell the voters what they plan to do and where they stand. I've done that, and my opponent won't.
Well, Jason, you know that on this show, the first time you were on, basically it was all about you, and it's a personable interview, and I was hoping to be able to do that because I want to know what's it like being a freshman in Congress and then have to campaign every day almost with messages about donations and all that.
Yep. Are there days, Wayne, I'll tell you, there are days when you wake up and you demand a recount. Because it can get pretty hectic. I will say, though, after talking and being in your shoes for a few decades, I decided that the country was at a particularly important crossroads, and to put your money where your mouth is and take a vote and try to stand up and actually do something. You can talk till you're blue in the face, but you got to get out there and take a vote, develop a policy. And I've been very fortunate to have a role. I'm a senior freshman on the budget committee. I was very instrumental in getting the dual enrollment passed for career and technical education, which we desperately need. More skills, more mechanical trades, not necessarily just 4-year liberal arts degree. That should be an option. But every employer I talk to in the second district says, I don't need any more anthropology majors. I need carpenters, plumbers, millwrights. So my dual enrollment amendment was signed into law under the Perkins bill, very instrumental in transportation and infrastructure, and hopefully getting a handle on the Met Council. All of those things feel good when you actually get something accomplished as opposed to just talking about it. But I will tell you the reason I did it. When I look into my two girls' eyes and I see what kind of potential world they will face, I thought, you know what, I got to try to do something to leave the world a little bit better for them and all the other kids. And that's really what this is about. We've got a $21 trillion debt, and Medicare is going to be broke in 8 years, according to the trustees. And now we're thinking about going Medicare for all, to throw seniors in a free-for-all Medicare system, which is basically socialized medicine, that would end the current Medicare program. That is the height of irresponsibility, and yet that's what they're proposing on the other side. So this is a battle royale. We've got to fight to make certain that this country is recognizable after the midterms and after a few years, or we will wake up one morning to a country that our parents wouldn't recognize or that we won't recognize. Having said all that, that's the reason I got into this. But I will tell you, and I'll be perfectly frank, it is an exhausting job. In Washington, D.C., you get out there, and the moment you land, you run to votes under suspension where you work across the aisle. Many votes are taken in a bipartisan way, many more than people think. I sponsored a juvenile justice bill with Virginia Democrat Bobby Scott, a very strong liberal, but he and I came to the same conclusion on juvenile justice. So all of that gets done the moment you land on votes under suspension. Then you're off the next day, the next 3 days, the next 4 days, depending on how long the week is, for 13, 14-hour days. You're going to committee hearings, you're going to subcommittee hearings, you're talking on the floor, you're having meeting with constituents, you go just, you know, rapid fire, and then you jump on a plane, you come home, and you think you're going to have a rest, but you don't, because you got to go to the district and talk to other constituents, which is vitally important. So it's very, very, it's a tough job, but it's all worth it when you take a look at what we've been able to accomplish. And what we've been able to accomplish is an economy now that is roaring back for all Minnesotans.
Jason Lewis is my guest, Congressman Jason Lewis. We'll be back in just a moment, and I'll ask him some questions about what you're probably thinking.
Live the legend and throw axes with your friends at the all-new Battle Axe Pub. Visit Magic, the live unicorn, hug a kangaroo, pet an African porcupine, or hand-feed a grape to a ring-tailed lemur. Soar over the crowd at the Wizards Flight School Zipline. Have a blast at the new Bow Blast competition. The Minnesota Renaissance Festival, family fun for one and all. Weekends and Labor Day through September 30th. Discount tickets at Super America, Cub, Menards, Dunn Brothers, and online at renaissancefest.com.
For the 44th year in a row, Rice County Steam and Gas Engines is preserving a bit of yesterday for tomorrow with our fall show and parade of tractors. Come visit us August 31st through September 2nd from 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. with live music each day. You can find us 3 miles south of Northfield on Highway 3. Don't miss out on the tractor pull, horse-drawn wagon rides, sawmill, plowing demonstrations, kids pedal tractor pull, and a raffle for a classic tractor with a plow. We will see you at the Rice County Steam and Gas Engines this Labor Day weekend.
You'll never know how much I really love you. You'll never know how much I really care.
Here we are, live in color in our studios in downtown Northfield, Minnesota. Beatle Bumper Music Friday with Jason Lewis. Secrets, huh? Do you want to know a secret? What is a secret in Washington, D.C.? I've got other things, but it just happened to my... Are there things going on that we don't know about and you are getting involved?
No, I wouldn't say that. I would say that the big secret really isn't that much of a secret, and that is Washington is far too timid.
They're timid.
Far too timid. Afraid to take strong stands, to stick your neck out, to do what's right, even though you're going to get walloped for doing what's right. Because people are always looking at, well, okay, I got here and I'm 40 years old. What do I have to do to stay here until I'm 70? And once you think that, the game is up. And I was fortunate, Wayne. I didn't get there till I was 62. So I'm not staying for that long.
No.
I'll stay, do a few terms and come home and live under the laws I helped create. But if you get somebody that's a bit younger and their political ambition is on their sleeve and all they care about is assuming the office instead of changing the office, that's when you get into trouble. And that is palpable when you get out to Washington, D.C. and something you've got to continually fight against. But the big secret is, you and I were talking about health care during the break. The debacle known as Minsure and the fact that premiums have gone up 67%. Nationwide premiums have doubled since the Affordable Care Act. It literally is unaffordable for employers, small employers, 50-plus, and individuals. Without the state spending $500 million to buy down premiums, we would have another 50% increase this cycle. It is a crisis, and everybody knows it. Premiums are going up along with copays and deductibles. So the secret is their answer is more of the same. Instead of Obamacare, they want to go the full Monty and do Medicare for All, which would end employer-sponsored health insurance. It would take, so you're working for a big company or a small company that gives you health insurance. That ends with Medicare for All. You're thrown into a government-controlled system. It would end Medicare for seniors as we know it. It would double personal and corporate income taxes, and it would cost $32 trillion to implement, and that still wouldn't raise enough revenue. It would bankrupt the country, and yet they can't come out and admit, well, you know, really, Minsure hasn't worked out, and Obamacare hasn't worked out, so let's go back to a market-based system and have some real reforms. They can't admit that. They don't want to. So now they're going the other way and saying, well, let's just do the whole single-payer government-controlled system. And I think people need to wake up and realize what that would mean. What it would mean is healthcare providers would get below market reimbursements. So steep, and they already are under Medicare and Medicaid. If a doctor takes a Medicaid patient, they get paid far below what they take a private insurer. Doing that for every American would simply mean fewer providers. Doctors would retire, clinics would close, and you would have rationing by queue. And that's what's at stake in this election. That's the secret. And a lot of people aren't leveling with folks on that.
Something popped into my mind. You're talking about longtime people that are congressmen or women. I think of Pelosi and Waters, and you know, their big push to remove you and yeah, some other key areas of sure, Republican strongholds.
Well, if Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters are against you, you might just be doing something right. The fact is that if the Democrats take over the House, Pelosi will be Speaker. The nation will be plunged into an impeachment crisis. Maxine Waters will chair the Financial Services Committee. Adam Schiff will chair the Intelligence Committee. Everything we've done with regard to tax reform, regulatory reform, with regard to the court and Judge Kavanaugh, all of that will stop. It will just stop. In fact, we'll go backwards. So this is the most monumental midterm in my lifetime. And I don't know that message is, you talk about the great Beatles classic, "Do You Want to Know a Secret?" That may be the secret, and people have to understand that.
What I want to know is, when you're out on the campaign trail, do you let people know that you do or do not support President Trump?
I've got the same answer I had 2 years ago, and that is, would I do things the same way the president does them? Probably not. Do I agree with the direction of his policies? Absolutely. Do I think we ought to make certain we secure the border after decades of open border? I was down on the border a couple of weeks ago, Wayne, and the Customs Border Patrol agent, she was a great patriot, took me to a place called Smuggler's Gulch, and it was just outside of San Diego, down by San Ysidro. And she said, when we didn't have these temporary walls, they just have temporary walls now, when we didn't have them, we would stand on this hill and watch illegal immigrants come across because we couldn't do anything. 1 year at Smuggler's Gulch, 628,000 were apprehended.
Wow.
Now, so many more came across. We're talking millions. Now they've got a wall about 14, 15 miles inland, but then it stops. And so do we need a physical barrier? Absolutely. Do we need more personnel on the border? Absolutely. So if you take a look at that particular issue, do I agree with the administration's policy? 100%. Now, I also agree we ought to do something about DACA. We ought to do something about family separation at the border. But we also ought to be cognizant of the permanent family separation that poor Iowa family suffered this week, finding out this week. And now in Shakopee, we have the situation of another crime being committed by an illegal immigrant who was deported and came back and committed another crime, a murder in this case. The idea that you have all of these stories coming out one after another, a drunken driver, a murder, all sorts of convictions, and you can't talk about it? It's right there in front of us. These are the facts. And so we've got to make certain we do something about that.
And so what do you think about your opponent, May? I don't know if she does, but...
No one knows if she yeah, does. That's the problem.
But eliminating ICE.
Yeah, I have to assume she's in favor of that only because she's taken tens of thousands of dollars from Nancy Pelosi and thousands of dollars from Kirsten Gillibrand of New York, whose stated position is to abolish ICE. So if you're taking money from people who want to abolish ICE, I presume you are in favor of abolishing ICE. But if Angie Craig is not in favor of that, bring it on. Tell us. But she just doesn't want to state her position on that because she's between a rock and a hard spot. She's got a hard, radical left base that she's counting on that she doesn't want to annoy. I'll give you another example. The Enbridge pipeline into Rosemont and the Pine Bend refinery. Pine Bend, the Rosemont refinery, which provides almost all of the fuel, jet fuel, to MSP, it provides asphalt and cosmetics and all sorts of products we use every single day in this state and across the Midwest. The state's largest refinery gets all its crude via pipeline. So by building Enbridge up north, it increases the efficiency of that, increases the job opportunities for thousands of Minnesotans, and increases our way of life in a very good way. I'm in favor of remodeling this outdated 1960s pipeline, right? It's good for the environment, and it's good for Pine Bend Refinery. But my opponent will not take a position on whether she's for Enbridge or against it. The reason is the Sierra Club's telling her to shut up. And if the Sierra Club's telling a Democrat to shut up, they're going to shut up. But that's not fair to the voters of the 2nd District.
A part of Northfield is in Dakota County, and Dakota County is part of the Met Council.
Yes, sir.
And you mentioned Met Council. What input do you as a congressman have in the Met Council, which is a huge council that is not elected?
When I got to Washington, D.C., the Met Council had a plan to expand in the more rural areas of the metro region, the Sherman County, down here, all over. And so I got together with a fellow Democrat, Representative Dan Lipinski of Illinois, and we drafted an amendment which finally got into law that said, no, you can't assume that there will be such high population density in 30 years that you ought to claim governance over those counties now. You have to apply through the normal process. You can even have a situation, pardon me, where a metropolitan planning organization, an MPO, which the Met Council is, could go across state borders and say, you're now part of the metro region. They could go into Hudson, Wisconsin and say, you're part of the Met Council. So Dan and I got together in a bipartisan way and stopped that. I now have an amendment on the FAA bill, which hopefully will be reauthorized by September 30th, that would require our Met Council, our MPO, to be in compliance with all of the other MPOs in the country. So almost all urban areas have metropolitan planning organizations. All of them have an elected official on the board, except one. Guess which one it is?
Ours.
We also have the largest MPO, and we also have the only one that can raise taxes independently, and yet we have no elected representation. So if we reauthorize the FAA bill with my amendment in it, and I'm hopeful we will, on September 30th, if they want to be a federally compliant MPO, they're going to have to find an elected representative for the board.
Oh, you mentioned FAA. What is that? The Federal Aviation
Administration. That needs to be reauthorized every few years to make certain that they have the funds. First of all, to make certain, it goes in a two-pronged system in Washington. You have a reauthorization bill, which says, here's what we want you to do. Then you have an appropriations bill that says, here's the money to do it. And sometimes they don't work together. For instance, on the juvenile justice bill I'm working on with Bobby Scott, it's been appropriated every year, but it hasn't been reauthorized since 2002. Isn't that Washington? We're just going to appropriate money over a program that hasn't been given any direction. But the FAA bill has, and this is the reauthorization bill for the FAA.
It is 13 minutes before 11 o'clock. Congressman Jason Lewis is my guest here on KYMN. We'll be back in just a moment.
Welcome home to Northfield Manor. On the campus of Northfield Retirement Community, Northfield Manor is proud to offer HUD Section 8 subsidized equal opportunity housing for adults 62 and older. Take advantage of all amenities on campus, including our state-of-the-art theater, Imelda's Marketplace, Fitness Center, Main Street Cafe, walking trails, and more. Call today, 507-650-7332. Northfield Retirement Community. Innovation. Choice. Tradition.
When King Cobra strikes, the world trembles. Noah's Ark introduces Raja, the world's largest King Cobra, raced through 330 feet of coiled intensity. 6 stories high, over 30 miles an hour. Come face to face with Raja, the most thrilling new ride of the summer, only at America's largest water park, Noah's Ark. Save up to $18 on select days when you buy tickets online at noahsarkwaterpark.com.
Oh yeah, those were the days, my friend. Beetle bumper music on the Wayne Eddy Affair. In honor of my guest here, former radio broadcast personality Jason Lewis, but now Congressman Jason Lewis. And once again, congratulations 2 years ago. Hard work getting there.
Yeah.
And I know you're in a hurry, places to go, things to do, and I know the schedule gets screwed up, and I know this young lady here is the one that puts the pressure on, and that makes you not the bad guy. But I do want to know, when you get there, and I've listened to your speeches as you were running 2 years ago, and are you, when you get there, do you get respect? Do freshmen get respect?
Yeah, that's a really good question and really insightful, Wayne. The fact is, I had the same sort of trepidation that you had. Okay, I'm just a freshman. They're there to be seen, not heard. And I came to realize pretty quick that you still have one vote out of 435. And the people the people that are counting on you to represent them want you to exercise that vote. And so whether you're voting for a leadership a slate, the speaker or the majority leader, or whether you're voting on a bill on the floor, it's still one vote out of 435, whether you've been there with one term or 20 terms. So it happens pretty quick, and you get ramped up pretty quick. And pretty soon, I've been asked to speak on the floor numerous times over major pieces of legislation because if you step up to the plate and you're willing to engage and willing to do your homework, you will get called into service real quick your first term. And I've been fortunate enough to experience that.
One last question, and that is, I mentioned that the day today is kind of like the way the country is now, and there's so much infighting, there's so much backbiting, yep. There's so much hatred, and I'm thinking, like Rodney King said, can't we all just get along?
I wish it were true.
You think the Republican Party should be a little bit more assertive in supporting various things that are goofy? Like, why are all these lawyers getting involved in all of this stuff, like the Trump-Russian collusion, all that, for almost 2 years? And let's spend some time doing some work for our country.
It is ironic. On the one hand, you'll get people who will say, God, why can't you get anything done? Why don't you do something and work together? And then they want to appoint special counsel after special counsel to bring somebody down through criminalizing politics because they couldn't defeat them at the ballot box. And how is that bringing people together? It is not. It's dividing them. We also have a serious crisis with identity politics in this country. The idea that we're all parts of these certain groups, rich and poor and black and white and gay and straight, instead of the fact that we're all individuals, we're all Americans. And you've got to get outside of this notion that I'm a part of a group first and I'm an American second or an individual. No, you're an American first. Everybody's an American. And that's the way we ought to look at people. There is more bipartisan work done than you think. I've teamed up with Lipinski, with Bobby Scott, with a number of Democrats, including Democrats in the Minnesota delegation, on a whole host of bills. But that doesn't make the 10 p.m. news because it's not a fight. And that's part of the problem as well.
And who are you supporting in regards to Governor?
I'm a big Jeff Johnson guy. Okay. Yeah. He's tapped into something big, and I think the state is ready for a change. I mean, understand, we've almost doubled the general fund under this administration, and are those roads getting fixed better? We've got a crisis of dysfunctionality in many aspects of the state government. I think Jeff can fix that.
Your last thought.
Well, the last thought is, what's at stake in this election? If you like 4% growth, and if you like the fact that wages are rising faster than they have in 10 years, there are more literally job openings than there are people available. The economy's moving again. Personal income is rising. Unemployment amongst all of those groups I mentioned is at a record low. That's what's in stake here. That's what's in jeopardy if we don't stay the course. So I would ask people to stay the course. We've got a pretty good record in these first 500 days. Let's keep it going.
Congressman Lewis, thank you very much for joining me, and we'll have to do it again, all right?
Absolutely, Wayne. Thank you.
All right.